Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this tax day, April 15th, 2015. I assume you're all paid up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I already got my return back.
Really?
Yeah.
Show off.
I mailed my check this morning.
Oh, no. I got my money back. It's in my savings account. I got to do some business stuff today, but...
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
So we won't talk a lot about that, but we do have a lot of other things to talk about this morning, and we welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, to join in on the fun. And it is fun. Roundtable@wamc.org. Let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is present. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Joseph.
SUNY Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo is with us.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you here. Again, can I ask you a question? I was thinking of this when I was going to pick up my wife last night. And because over the years, having done this for a while now, over the years, at various times the state university will call and tell us that we're identifying them wrong. At one point they wanted us to call them SUNY Albany. At another point it was the University at Albany. Mm-hmm. And now I noticed the State University of New York at Albany.
No, that's not what they want.
They're still pushing UAlbany.
They want UAlbany or the University at Albany. It's about De-emphasizing
the
fact that this is a public university.
Because I have SUNY Albany, and I realized as I was going in, and the reason I asked this is because they put up those banners on campus, all those very bright banners on campus. Mm-hmm. And so it was...
Whenever I'm overseas, I always say State University of New York at Albany.
Sure.
I do not say UAlbany.
Who cares what they want?
If I say UAlbany, they think it's Toronto.
She still likes to get her check.
I want to be
That's
correct.
Who cares.
You know,
well,
I
want
to be
correct.
But
we do what we want to do. I mean, it's by the way, it's Binghamton University now.
Yeah, I know, which is a joke.
I find that horrible.
Yeah.
Well, because it was like they changed all the community colleges, so it became SUNY Ulster, SUNY Adirondack, and then at that point they also said that it was SUNY Albany, and now you see it as UAlbany.
Look, we have a chancellor. We pay her a lot of money. She's got to have something to do. Name changing's good. Branding. It's marketing.
No.
I disassociate myself from those remarks.
Excuse me. This has been going on for decades. When I was a student and you had Herb Gordon in.
Herb Gordon.
Okay, who was the SUNY lobbyist, who's a friend of mine. They started this. They started taking the moniker of State University of New York out of referring to all the campuses. And I made this point to him that you are taking the public part out of public higher education.
Which is true, because that's when they started to really ramp up the tuitions.
Right. So, you know, from my point of view, it's a branding thing, but it's also about, we're not a public school. We're just as good as all the privates.
But I'm serious about this. I think when they do something like that and you don't like it, you should ignore it. And you should do what you darn well want to do.
That's called the State Teachers College.
There you go.
It depends
go way
on
back.
What you want. I don't like
it's historical.
That. Historical. Yeah. When Bronx House camps in Copaic, New York, where I spent lots of years, decided it wasn't upscale enough, so they named it. They took the Bronx out of the title, Camp Taconic Hills or something. I don't know what they called it. I've always referred to it as Bronx House for the next 40 years. I mean, because that's what I admire.
I
think
call
you should
it
do
SUNY
the same
Albany.
Thing. Exactly.
Well, so as long as you aren't taking offense, then I should be calling you University at Albany Journalism Professor.
I have not been called in yet, although after today I'm not sure. I'll let you know.
All right.
They're not going to call you in. That's your, you know, professorial right.
And as I was writing that and thinking of that last night, I then got to the very easy, Libby Post is just a, not just, but is a political consultant. That's easy.
Thank you so much.
I can handle that.
With all of my degrees from, what should we call it?
University
SUNY Albany,
Albany,
the State Teachers College, University, UAlbany, I don't care.
And you were recently honored as one of the most important of the graduates of the Rockefeller College program.
Well, I haven't been honored yet. That's
but
coming
you,
up.
When
but
is
I,
that?
Yes. It's May 15th.
Oh, May 15th.
At the State Museum.
I can't make it, but because I'm doing something. No, really,
yeah,
that
I know
night.
You are.
But I want to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Publicly,
I'm a distinguished alumna.
Before 10,000 people.
Thank you. In political 20, science.
Yeah.
From Rockefeller, which I credit basically to being on this show. I'm getting this award.
Not at all. You should
then I want one. Hold it.
I think it's just raised the profile, that's all.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well,
so thank you, Alan.
We got all that out of the way. We're almost ready to take a break, I think. But
it's getting thick in here.
We'll try to get to a topic before we get to a break. By the way, we do have, of course, your participation, which is roundtable@wamc.org. All right. Cuba, off the list. This is the big story today as far as making international news. President Obama has decided to lift the U.S. designation of Cuba as a state sponsor of terrorism, a decision that removes a principal impediment to the establishment of diplomatic relations between the two countries and accepts that Havana's role as an agent of revolution has long since slipped into history.
So who would we rather think is a terrorist? The Saudis, who make people bend over and cut their heads off with a sword.
Oh.
What they did.
Yeah, well, that those are state executions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, but for what? You remember of the Saudi princesses.
But that's not terrorism. That's internal punishment, which you may or may not disagree with, but it isn't terrorism.
I don't want to play the game.
The people who live there.
All I know is the United States supports that regime with lots of everything. And when a princess falls in love with a commoner, they cut her head off. Not right.
Well, Alan, you don't even have to go to a foreign country. We put Cuba on the list for terrorism because they were helping regimes we did not like in South America. Whereas we, when we don't like regimes in South America, we invade them. Panama, Grenada. So it's pretty ridiculous list. It's very political. It's not objective or scientific. Long time since Cuba should be off of it, if it should have been on in the first place. If we had done our diplomacy right, it would never have been on, I think.
Well, there's politics involved, all those folks down in Florida, you know, and that is a
Well, that's
state.
Right.
I mean, there's lots of things, you know.
They're the ones who make the election.
Right. They make the election. And now what's happening is the folks that came over, you know, and lost everything, they're all sort of aging out, and the younger ones don't really get it.
Well, except for Marco Rubio, who is a younger one and who is not following the dynamic you just...
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about rational thinking people.
I see.
So Congress has 45 days to consider Cuba's removal from the list before it takes effect, but it cannot interfere with the president's decision without voting on separate legislation, a measure that the White House has deemed unlikely. Would we agree with that, panel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Irene checked in and says Cuba was going to have better relations until JFK was killed. Teach the real history. Send Rosemary and Libby down for a live roundtable hookup.
Oh, I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, I even have my passport now.
All right.
As long as you guys pay, I'm fine.
All right. Anything else on that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Certainly not from me.
All right. So let us... No, it is not a surprise. It was part of the deal. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about other issues as well. We have many to discuss. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs and Colony, New York. Purchasing jewelry and diamonds, coin collections, silver, antiques, fine art and estates, marklawson.com. Fleury Lumber, Route 10, East Hampton, Massachusetts. Providing information and advice for sprucing up current or adding new decks. From exotic hardwoods to composite decking. Offering delivery, FleuryLumber.com. And Temple Israel, Albany, New York. Announcing Woodstock's Rabbi Jonathan Kligler. Presenting a weekend guide to Jewish prayer, April 17th through 19th. TempleIsraelAlbany.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel for this Wednesday. Yes, it's a Wednesday, the 15th of April, and we thank you very much for being with us. Let us move on to other topics before we take a break at the bottom of the hour. The White House relented on Tuesday and said President Obama would sign a compromise bill giving Congress a voice on the proposed nuclear accord with Iran as the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, in rare unanimous agreement, move the legislation to the full Senate for a vote. Rosemary Mayo.
The White House relented, really. The language of that is ridiculous. You guys all called me Pollyannas when I said maybe the House and the Senate in the hands of Republicans would mean there'd be a new sense of compromise. We have two bills today that show compromises happening. One is the Medicare bill. We talked about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Doctors will now get more money, bipartisan support. And there's this one, the White House compromised, because Democrats who support the president and hard-feeling Republicans agreed that Congress must have a say in the treaty.
Well, and they do.
And so they agreed to it. That's a good thing.
Not congressionally, but constitutionally, they do. They have to sign off on it ultimately.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this is just political posturing, saying, oh, we're going to do our job.
Well, I think it really goes deeper than that. I mean, I think what happened here was that Israel is the elephant in the room,
The
table. So that you get people like Chuck Schumer and others who feel, really believe deeply in the preservation of Israel, the constituency and all, and who didn't want to say no to the president, but did want to find a philosophical underpinning to make this work. Now, as far as Rosemary's outrageous remark just now goes, I have to really be against you on this one.
I
against
said that once
she
about
said
him,
it
and
once,
he uses
and I thought it was one of the funniest
every day
ever.
Now. I have to be against you on this.
This is not a look. You get these two little dots, and Rosemary comes at us and says, "Oh well, you know, this just shows the spirit of compromise because the Republicans, you know, got in charge, which I predicted would happen." In fact, you go back 2 days and read the New York Times editorial about how terrible the Republicans in both houses of Congress have been towards Obama.
Oh, I read that. As I said at the time, I thought that was more just liberal whining. But this is clearly the White House got what it wanted. It could not constitutionally say, look, you know, we're going to make this deal and Congress will have nothing to do with it. So now they have a deal where there's limits on how long Congress can take to make a decision. It's very curtailed and reasonable. But everybody's agreeing to it.
But it does not in any way, Rosemary, show that the Republicans are reasonable people who are open to compromise. They got these two things that needed
today
to be done. Medicare, which had to be done because the doctors are going to walk off the job, and we're really getting screwed as a result of, you know, as a result of the way the payment system was working. And this thing.
So let it be noted that Alan said they'll never compromise on anything. We now have two bills.
No,
so now we need to negotiate how many compromises.
No, the thing is, though, is that we all sat here and riled against Tom Cotton writing that letter.
Yeah, I'm not buying that, Rosemary.
Saying that it's the president's purview to negotiate contracts.
But not to sign.
To deal with foreign policy. And it's the Congress's purview to advise and consent, not necessarily
on the final agreement.
Right. Not necessarily to say this is what we're doing, but to on the final agreement. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. I mean, the fact of the matter is they do, though. I mean, that's just the way it is, because they don't understand you can't have it both ways. They think having it both ways is just the way it should be. But yes, there was some compromise here. Yes, Israel is the elephant in the room. Ultimately, I think the president is going to come out of this with a good...
Me too.
...good agreement, and we'll be able to move some stuff forward. I mean, look at what's happened on the foreign policy front. They said the we'll never recognize Cuba. Well, they're going to do it. They said we're not doing a treaty. They're going to do it. You know, so things are moving.
And they said, hell no, we're not going to do the gay marriage thing. And then as soon as the truck left the station,
we're all on board.
The station, everybody was
right,
on board.
Right, right, right.
I agree with you.
Oh, thank you
so
much.
But not with what's her name over here.
Okay, fine.
All right.
What's
her name? There you go.
Right.
What's her name?
The punim on your face is, you know.
We can't say that's stupid, but we can say what's her name. Okay, I'm getting the rules.
He says that's stupid often enough.
No.
I wouldn't do that.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about other issues that are in the news, and we'll get to your letters. We have several. We want to read those as well. Roundtable@WAMC.org, roundtable@WAMC.org. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo from the University at Albany.
That's her name.
And that is her name.
That's her school.
What's her face?
Rutzerface is here from.
And Libby Post joins us as well. Again, we welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We will be back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue along with...
Alan Chartok.
Rosemary Armeo.
Libby Post.
Well, that's cute. We never did that before.
This way you don't have to worry about making a mistake.
That's right.
And they all made up the Benny Goodman Quartet.
That's right. We all come together and make up the quartet. And we welcome you. It's roundtable@WAMC.org, roundtable@WAMC.org. And we get to the letter portion right now.
Okay, Mike wants to know, please ask Rosemary about the confirmation of Loretta Lynch.
Baby steps, Mike, baby steps.
Good for you, Mike. Okay, we can't do that. All right, and Robert says, the invasion of Grenada occurred because the country's government moved its military to take American college students hostage. Using the military to protect American abroad was legitimate under such circumstances and should not be lumped in with much less honorable American military adventures in South and Central America, says Robert. And Dean Springer says, the musical interludes are way too long.
Please you try herding the cats.
Yeah, you mean we're cats, meow?
Well, but you get into a spirited debate.
Yeah, it's hard.
And sometimes you're so spirited that the language, and we just wait for a second. That's all.
You mean you using that as a cool down period? Is that what that's, is that?
You know what scared the hell out of me? The other day, somebody was in here, maybe Brian Shields in the afternoon, and he noticed that the light, the on-air light, was not working. And I got really worried that had been going on all day long and that our salty language in here had gone over the air.
Oops.
Because sometimes what will happen is during the break, we'll get into a spirited conversation.
Right. We all just need to calm down.
Right. Not using the music as a calming. I'm just using it as travel music until we get everybody together.
Right.
And Matthew says, on Cuba, go, Rosemary. And Tom says, I graduated in 1972 from SUNY Albany, a.k.a. SUNY Albany. Get it?
I don't, actually.
That's an accent, I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I probably did it wrong.
It's from Brooklyn. SUNY Albany.
SUNY.
Right. I'm from SUNY.
Okay. All and right. The front porch in Copaic is for lunch today, is offering a meatball parmesan on roll. Nice, right?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Worth a long ride to Copaic, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be.
Okay. And then David from Albany, the same way Nazis fled Germany, went to South America, Iranian Revolutionary Guards and terrorists have gone to Cuba for refuge. What? I don't get that.
I've never heard that one.
But here's the point about it. The Iranian Revolutionary Guards are in power. So what are they running to Cuba for?
Yeah.
I don't get that. We need some more. Send that back for more work. Rich says,
rewrite.
Today, workers are fighting for a $15 wage. Governor Cuomo runs his ads detailing how great New York State is. Income tax day, which was passed in 1913 and illegal, spends our money with the citizens having little say. The New York State legislature wants a raise, yet New York State has many poor and others on the brink of despair. Schools need a round table hour for their students. All right. And then Ronald Deutsch. I don't usually read press releases here, but it's a very interesting press release. And it's entitled, Unlikely Allies Call for Startup New York to Shut Down. That's the one that if you go to SUNY, you don't pay taxes, and if you're outside of
economic development stuff.
And there's stuff in here that is really, you know, sort of eye-catching. And it's, by the way, it's both from the right and the left. The groups that are opposing this thing. Yeah. I mean, it's a long list. And it really is $53 million for 76 jobs? That's not economic development. That's lunacy, it says here. It's time to end the handouts and do what we know works well. Invest in rebuilding our infrastructure, hiring more teachers and nurses, and building the green economy. That's an economic development plan that puts families first, said Bill Lipton, executive director of the Working Families Party. Okay. And then we heard from Jim, who says, two of the Democratic senators leading the attack on President Obama and nuclear negotiation with Iran, Schumer and Cardin, have dual U.S.-Israeli citizenship. It's legal, but doesn't pass the smell test. I want our leaders to deal with our national security who do not have dual loyalty. U.S. government officials should not have dual citizenship, whether it's U.S., Israel, U.S., Britain, U.S., Ireland, U.S., Japan, etc. I'm especially concerned about Schumer as a possible Senate minority majority leader. Well, I know Chuck Schumer pretty well, and I don't think there's any question that where his loyalty lies, and that's to this country. I just want to say that because sometimes, you know, there's a sort of nuance here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you agree with me here, Libby, but, you know, that because he's Jewish, he has dual loyalties.
Right.
I just don't think it's so.
Well, he's Jewish. He's loyal to this country. He's also loyal to his heritage. It's not an oxymoron. You can do both.
And then somebody named Ben wrote to me and said, time you can retell here, you very too much on radio, from Ben.
Okay, very much.
Sounds like one of my students.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fill in the blanks.
Right, figure it out.
That's
what I got.
Okay, we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. Police in Arizona said Tuesday that an officer who intentionally used his car to run into a suspect with a rifle probably saved the man's life. The man's lawyer strongly disagrees. Video of the incident has stirred debate about what type of force police should have used to detain a man with a gun. Everything in the video seems to point towards an obvious excessive use of force. It is miraculous that my client isn't dead, according to attorney Michelle Cohen-Metzger. Excuse me. The incident was recorded February 19th on the dash cam of the Marana police cars that were following the suspect, 36-year-old Mario Valencia. In one video, an officer who is tailing Valencia at slow speed reports over the radio that the suspect has fired one round in the air with a rifle that he is accused of stealing that morning from a Walmart. Another patrol car zooms past, runs into the man from behind, then hits a short cinder block wall next to a driveway. Video from that officer's camera shows the officer running the man over and the windshield smashing as the car hits the wall. The officer in the first car is reported to have said, "Oh, Jesus Christ, man down."
Yeah.
Oops.
So I find this interesting story because the video is there. It once again appears to be police misconduct. Questionable conduct, let's call it that. And the commentary on television all last night while this was playing was how creative and fast-thinking the officer had been, that you have a man who's suicidal and just off it. Even his lawyer said that. And he did have a rifle. He did fire it. It was in a residential area. And so this guy runs him down, gets him out of commission right away. That any other action the police took or could have taken would have endangered the neighborhood. So they're seeing this as creative. It raises the question of whether videos are really going to solve these horrible problems we're having with police questionable behavior.
Well, don't you think, though, that we should try it?
And
that,
oh, yeah, I do.
That we should try it and see whether it works or not. I mean, I think anybody who has a camera on them is going to behave substantially differently than if you don't have.
Well, this officer obviously was not.
I don't know about that.
Really?
I really don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
David Brooks has a wonderful column. It's in the New York Times today, and the Times Union and Albany also reprint. I recommend it. This is homework. And he writes about these cameras. And he says you have to be in favor of it. There's just been too much lately. There's no way you can say, no, let's let them not have cameras. But it is an invasion of privacy, and some things will be lost. And one of them is the trust between an officer and the community. You are telling them, we don't trust you. And that is a different stance than we've had with our police before. Make no mistake about it. You also lose some confidence in what people will say and do to police. And it also is an invasion of of privacy. The cops come to your house because there's a call there. And a camera goes in. The whole community thus can see you in your most private place on what could be about the worst day in your life. It's very thought-provoking. It is not a good thing. Yes, we may indeed have to do it. I think we do. But what a terrible loss.
Yes, I completely agree. There's a lot to think about. And you wonder whether we fully thought it
through. Yeah, I don't think we have.
Well, you never think it through, and there's always the law of unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. That always happens. But I don't know that it... I really don't know that it would cause more dissension between community and an officer. I think it's probable that the community would have a sense that... That there was some kind of record, a permanent record being related. I mean, I remember once, long time ago, we were doing a square dance out on Fire Island, and some cop came in to cut it out, and his hand carelessly wandered down to his side. And the next day, we went to complain, and the answer was, if we didn't see it, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think mm-hmm. now you're going to see it.
And there has to be this sense of accountability, I think. The incident that happened, I think it was in California, the guy on the horse and the cops running after him. And then when he got off the horse and they beat him pretty senseless. From my point of view, watching that, it was like, we're going to beat you because you made us do our job. You know, that's their job. You go, you run after somebody who's broken the law, you arrest them, you handcuff them, you pick them up, you put them in the car, you arrest them, you bring them, and you process them. You don't put them on the ground and beat them like they beat this guy, because they're angry that he made them run after him.
And not only that, Libby, we now have examples of third party taking
video,
the pictures.
That's right, and that's what this was. This was a news helicopter who was watching this whole thing, and the whole, it was really clear. I mean, this guy was laying prostrate on the ground, right, face down, and the officer came and kicked him right between the legs.
The whole idea of policing is that you want people who will de-escalate violence and scary behavior.
Right, and not
create it. And so how does that happen? I mean, some recruitment, some training goes on. Obviously, we have a long way to go. And this does do a disservice to good policemen, although I have not seen them, as I've said before, go out and criticize these things and ask for a study, as we've seen journalists react to bad journalists or bad teachers react to bad teachers. Where are the cops, the good cops, saying this is unacceptable?
Also, in this particular case, you have, in the case that we are talking about this morning, of what happened in Arizona in February, this officer knew he had a dashboard camera. And the decision was whether he was conscious at that moment or not that he had the camera rolling. But the decision was that I'm going to run into this guy. I mean, that was a conscious decision.
Oh, yeah, he rammed him.
He rammed him. So that was, I mean, that would have happened whether that camera was there or not.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to alter behavior necessarily.
I think they probably forget the camera's there, to be quite honest with you.
Because that gets back to our question of the culture, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It also gets into this private. Several people are getting a lot of letters on this, but several people are raising this business of into the house comes a domestic disturbance and somebody's half dressed, and you're violating a lot of privacy.
Absolutely.
When those cameras are on. So you're going to have all kinds of rules that say not everybody gets to see everything that's on.
Well, that's
police
right.
Camera.
And then who gets to see it?
Right.
Does it become public record?
Yeah.
Well, it's like 9/11 calls. We have the same thing. You know,
right.
It's a 9/11 call, which is audio. Is that public? And we saw that in Sandy Hook. It took a court order. And the court order seemed to be going in favor of the media. So you wouldn't see everything, no question about it. But if something happened on that domestic call, if there were questionable police behavior, if someone ended up dead or injured, there'd probably be a pressing public concern. And the courts would say, let's see
it. It would be a judge's decision.
That would be my thought.
Well, your thought, and you know how I love you, but your thought is predictable. I mean, it's always going to be the press gets every right that they want. But if you walk into a house and somebody's naked or somebody has just been, you know, beaten
or
something.
That's not what
she
said.
Wouldn't show. Actually, nakedness wouldn't show because no media puts on nudity. They're more afraid of nudity than they are of violence. They'd likely show someone being battered or stabbed or something, but no, not that.
Still can be described, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and even if you describe it, it's violative.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you walk into a house and you're filming somebody beating the crap out of their wife, that's footage that's needed.
And by the way, being naked in your house, what's wrong with that? Aren't you ever naked in your house?
Almost never. I have a real sense of modesty.
You're safe then.
No, but
my eyes.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah. Right. No, I don't.
No,
I don't.
There's a difference between. You know, between showing that there was a disturbance and violating somebody's ultimate privacy, mm-hmm. I think. I don't know. It's where it's either we go.
The point is that you put cameras on every cop and the chances for violating privacy, maybe we can agree on this, are certainly enhanced.
Look, there's always a downside. There's always going to be a downside to any kind of change that you make. We have a Supreme Court of the United States which won't let us, on the most theoretical material in the world, come in with a camera mm-hmm. to show our judges talking mm-hmm. to each other.
Right.
We can't do that.
Good point.
We have conferences and caucuses in the state legislature which are, quote, representative, where we're not allowed to see what's going on.
Yep.
It's a bit of a balance here.
So, not that this matters, but just right before we go to break, and Rosemary, you can...
I'm laughing at the thought of all the new police reality shows we'll have.
Yeah.
Cops.
Yeah. Right.
Good cops. Good cops. So we'll get much better after this.
Right. Cops on camera. Cops.
So, what happens between February and April 14th in the sense of what took 2 months to get the...
Thick in taxes.
No, to get the video
out. You mean the video, get the video
out.
Out
in Arizona.
Oh, because now videos of cop behavior are hot.
Yeah, but why 2 months? Why didn't it come out February 20th?
Well, when was Ferguson? That was before then.
Yeah, but it was also Arizona, right?
I'm just curious as to what
I don't know.
When we talk about that,
why
does it take that long?
I bet the defense has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. He's got a court-appointed lawyer, and this guy was charged with everything: robbing a Walmart in the morning. Yeah, he has, and she's fighting against it. She was on national television too. I bet she had something to do with it because that certainly did make me feel for him. Like, has he been punished enough?
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll read some letters. We'll go to some other issues. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years. QFCC.com. Davidson Brothers Brew Pub, featuring food, ales, entertainment, and more, serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week in downtown Glens Falls, New York. DavidsonBrothers.com. And Curtis Lumber, celebrating 125 years, supporting our communities with sales, service, and supplies at 21 locations in New York and Northern Vermont. CurtisLumber.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. Let's go to some letters, and then we will finish up with a couple of issues, at least one or two. You got anything there, Alan?
I think we do.
Okay.
R says, why does the community have to see what the cops' camera sees when they come into your house on a call? How does the community see the footage unless the media gets it? The government has cameras all over our communities watching us everywhere. And there is a, Joe says, is it, if there was a process to screen out bullies in capital letters in the police selection process, we could avoid most of these brutality issues. And that's from Joe. Let's see, R says, the most important thing is to encourage the public to independently record incidents with police. Police cannot be trusted with control of the cameras because the blue wall of silence. Think about it. The public to this day would never have known about Rodney King, a point I've made many times, had there not been any independent video of the incident. Absolutely true. And Stephen says, given that someone recently committed suicide and murdered almost 150 people simultaneously, I give the driver slash cop the benefit of the doubt. And that's from Steve. And then Richard says, with Ted Cruz running for president, where are the birthers now? The ferocious attack on President Obama and the questioning of his place of birth shows that birthers were motivated by racism and nothing more. Susan says, yes, cameras, but they are not the cure. That lies in much better training, including mental health, cultural sensitivity, and so on for the police. I've so often seen them escalate a situation. And... I don't know if I read this. Stop me if I, before I kill again. Cameras. Why does the community have to see what the cop's camera sees when they come into your house on a call? How does the community see the footage? Unless the media gets it. The government has camera. We did that one.
Yeah, we did.
I finally found that out. Okay. Three quarters of the way into it. So what is the camera? What is the camera shows your house? At least the cop won't kill you if he knows it's on camera. And I think, oh, nope, here's another one. With a rash of TV reports and YouTube videos depicting police violence toward presumed perpetrators, should we not begin to question motive? Do police resort to pistols, tasers, and billy clubs because of their limited physical conditioning? If you are too overweight to chase down a subject, why not just shoot him? If you have limited ability to subdue a perp, then taser him. If even school bus drivers are required to pass physical abilities test annually along with a physical fitness test, why not policemen? You know, I worked for Commissioner Patrick V. Murphy in the New York City Police Department many years ago as an educational consultant, and he started telling the police that they had to be in shape, and nothing that I have ever seen got them angrier than telling them that they had to lose weight. Jan says, "Okay, is Rosemary as sexy as she sounds? She's got
what?"
What it says. She's got she's got a hot voice. She's also quite intelligent and eloquent. Thanks. I love the show. And that's Jan. And
Jan.
Okay.
It's Libby you want to talk to.
No, not necessarily. I know a man who is named Jan.
It could be Jan.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, and Alan's it's Libby you want to talk to. What am I, open for two, season here? I'm married.
Yeah, there are two Jans.
Right.
There's a woman Jan.
And there's a man Jan. I know there's a guy named Jan Quitzo who used to work at the Albany Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Oh, okay.
For years.
Sorry. Okay. I was thinking Janice. Janet. Not interested.
Yeah, just get... Well, excuse me. Don't flatter yourself, honey. Okay?
Well,
just don't flatter yourself.
For God's sake.
Don't flatter yourself. Rady says, dear panels, a Republican who would like to see Secretary Clinton defeated in 2016, I have a problem with my party's candidates. They often refer to her as Mrs. Clinton. It's usually said in a facetious and disrespectful manner. I'm tired of it. Call her Secretary or at very least Senator Clinton. Well, I don't want her, while I don't want her in the White House, I think we can all agree she's a leader and deserves respect. We can be above sexist overtones. What do you think?
Great letter. See, there are very reasonable, good Republicans. Brady is one. Is that
so
a boy
now-
or a girl? Brady.
Did you hear the there was an interesting...
You don't know. It could be either one.
I hope it's a man, because that's a very, very good
letter.
Because
she'd like a date.
There was an interesting story in the... I believe it was in the Times yesterday about the events in Iowa that were... Hillary Clinton was walking into the tea shop.
Yes.
And how that was all choreographed, but everybody in the tea shop was told beforehand, do not refer to her as Madam Secretary. Please just call her Hillary. There was this whole procedure. We want you to call her Hillary.
Yeah. That's an interesting point, Joe. You know, that
they
she's
want
to trying
make
to make
her much
accessible.
More accessible and friendlier and warm and grandmotherly and cuddly. And
nevertheless, the Republican letter, show some real sensitivity.
Yes, good letter.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Alex wants to know, has Rosemary been to Cuba?
Yes.
I'm wondering if she thinks the invasion of Americans and our corporations will ruin the unique and beautiful culture I experienced there in 2003. McDonald's on every other block and Marriott mega resorts like everyone else would be, like everywhere,
like
else,
everywhere else
would be very sad.
I agree, yeah. Alex, however, and I feel really happy that I got to see it before that invasion comes, but it will be such a good thing for the Cuban people who don't have soap and shampoo and basics, and they have a beautiful country and they'll make a lot of money off of tourism. They deserve it.
And yeah, I mean, this is a situation where it didn't work.
Right.
These people are not living the high life.
They are not.
Mark says the Arizona video of the police hitting the suspect with a car was a shocking thing to see. However, as the lesser of two evils, I would prefer to see this as an alternative to cops shooting and killing unarmed suspects. Thanks from Mark. And Don says, panel years ago has proposed that police be described as rights protectors rather than law enforcers. This might be a small but useful step towards revision of cops' perception of the role they should be playing in our lives. And what I would add that in many, many cases, they do play this incredible, beneficent role. I mean, they really do intercede when you really need them. And
you tend to forget about that, though, when you see them shooting somebody in the back.
Well, that's true, but that doesn't mean one rotten apple is representative of the barrel.
It's true, it's true.
Don't you think?
I do think that, but as I've said repeatedly, I'm not hearing from good cops saying this is intolerable.
No, that's
we
a very good
something
point
about it.
Yeah. And there is a thin blue line. There's no question.
They
about
defend
we do
each
have
other.
A letter on that. Just we're almost out of time, but do you see Jay's letter there?
Jay, yes. Jay, not fair, Rosemary. For the first time in a long time, I take issue with something Rosemary has said.
You didn't have to read that.
Her point is good, though.
Her assertion that when there are bad reporters, good reporters speak up and should be same for the police. Well, when good cops speak out, and by the way, most cops are good, they are dismissed as being mouthpieces for the police department or the police unions. If you pay attention, you'll see story after story of officers going above and beyond to protect and serve their communities, from giving shoes to homeless men to providing food for homeless families, to the cops that bought a gallon of milk to the mother and children running the lockdown of Boston as the manhunt for the marathon bombers was underway. These stories are not just sensationalized as the bad cop stories. And, you know, and on.
Okay, we're out of time.
Okay.
But real quick, Rusty does say, I'm blind, so I'm used to judging by voice. You all sound very huggable, but Rosemary, ooh la la. We'll end there.
Okay, enough. No more of those.
More
We'll end there. Listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.